Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further, faster. On today's podcast, Andy is joined by special guest Joel Manby, President and CEO of Hirschen Family Entertainment. Today, Andy and Joel will explore the tension all leaders feel when work and family collide.
As Lane mentioned, I'm in the studio today with my good friend Joel Manby. Joel and I met in 1996. We became good friends, have been in community group together with our wives. We've been in men's group. We're in a men's group right now. And Joel was actually our first guest on the podcast a few months ago, and I brought him back for a very, very specific reason. For those of you who heard that, you'll remember his claim to fame is he was a part of Undercover Boss. And then also, you have another claim to fame we didn't talk about, your basketball claim to fame. I think you should share that with our podcast audience. We have a lot of sports fans, and I never talk about sports, so this is it.
In high school, my claim to fame is I guarded Magic Johnson in a high school basketball game.
And you held him to how many points?
42.
Held him to 42 points, and there it is, ladies and gentlemen.
I didn't really
guard
him. He just kind of ran by me, but it was fun.
Well, today's podcast is titled Choosing to Cheat, and for some of you in our audience, that may sound familiar because it's the title of a book I wrote. In the year 2000, I actually preached a message entitled Choosing to Cheat, and then a couple of years later, published the book. Now, for those of you who've read the book, you've actually read a part of Joel's story. I tell that story in the opening of the book, and his name is Bill back then, and I just thought it would be fun for you to come and actually tell the real story, because you were sitting in the audience the Sunday morning that I preached that message, and God used it in a pretty significant way, and I think it's a story worth telling.
I'd be honored to. That sermon, Choosing to Cheat, changed my life, and if it can help anybody else listening to this, I'm happy to share it, even though it's a little painful. But it all started when I was CEO of Saab North America, was given a promotion to take on Asia and South America. And as anybody who knows in those kind of businesses, that meant the travel really spiked. I traveled about 80% of the time in 1999. And I was gone a lot. My wife, Marky, and I had three young girls. And I was really feeling the strain, but didn't realize how bad it was getting till I called from, it was Japan, actually, on my wife's birthday. And she's usually a very chipper lady, wonderful, but she was really down, and the tears started to flow. And she basically said, you know, this is not what I signed up for. Even when you are home, you're absent. You know, because I reported to Sweden, I had phone calls at 6 in the morning. And then she said, you're on phone calls at 11 at night with Japan. You're gone all the time. You're not engaged. Basically, this is not what I signed up
for. And the interesting thing is you're both very committed Christians, both grew up in the church. You knew the right answers to all the questions,
right.
You knew chapter and verse, and yet you wake up and you're in a situation that she didn't sign up for and you didn't sign up for either.
That's right. I was frustrated. I knew I wasn't doing my job. I knew I loved my family, but apparently everything I was doing wasn't showing that. And I just knew I had to do something. I actually flew back to Atlanta where Saab headquarters were. I talked to my boss in Sweden and pleaded that I would just get the U.S. operation back, thinking that might solve the problem. Well, he patted me on the back, gave me a 5% raise, and said, you know, you're doing great. Keep it up. And basically said no. And at that point, I kind of emotionally started disconnecting from Saab. So I have to do something. So I had the right motive. I was willing to make a significant move to try to help the situation. But the next move I made actually made things worse.
Yep, that's when the story really picks up steam. So, and again, I knew you during that process, and you really were trying to unwind from, you know, as people listen, they think, oh, I would love to be in a position where an international company has given me, you know, North America, Asia, and the conversation is, do I just keep North America or do I keep North America and Asia? I mean, for most of us, we can't even comprehend that kind of conversation. So you're already at a place most men would love to be, and yet you're wrestling with something we all wrestle with. So what happened next?
Well, I would say to that, be careful what you wish for, because there's definitely trade-offs when you get to that level. And for me, it was the travel. I made a decision to go to a startup in California called Greenlight.com. And this was, of course, in the dot-com boom. We were Amazon's car tab. So Jeff Bezos from Amazon was involved in this deal. It was funded very well. And I thought what I would do is eliminate international travel and so forth. Well, it ended up unraveling.
This was what year?
This was 2000. So literally, Andy, my first day of work was April 4th of 2000. That's the day that the stock market crashed. So I show up in California in a dot-com boom, and the NASDAQ dropped 35% my first day of work. By the end of Friday, it had gone down by half. Make a long story short, I thought we had 4 years of funding, but that was all pulled when it crashed, meaning we only had enough cash at our burn rate, how much we were burning through each month. I only had enough cash to last 6 months.
Oh, wow.
So it went from 4 years to 6 months. And by the second week, I was laying off, 75% of our employees. And that's very relevant because I went into an emotional tailspin. And I thought I was solving the issues for my family, but I'm halfway across the country. The business isn't going to make it. I had given up this fantastic job in the car industry, thinking I was doing the right thing for my family. And honestly, it just unraveled for me. I became very depressed. I used alcohol too much to soothe the pain and try to get to sleep at night. I was just wired because it was a 24/7 thing to keep this company afloat. And this whole time, Marky's back in Atlanta, because my first day of work, I called her and said, don't bother moving because this isn't going to make it. And but yet, our relationship was getting farther apart because now I thought she was going to come out and live with me, but it didn't make any sense to sell the house, so it actually got worse.
Now, going back a little bit, our listeners, our podcast listeners listen to that and say, okay, so let me get this straight. You left an international company with an incredible salary, incredible opportunity, basically doing what you thought God would want you to do. I mean, you're a Christian, you're praying about this, and yet you made what you now look back on as a bad decision. How did that happen? Did you ever blame God for that, or was that a Joel thing?
I never really did because it wasn't quite as nice as you make it sound. I was greedy, basically. They offered me stock options that were worth, at that time, $16 million. If we could just get this company public, and I thought I had 4 years to do it, at the valuation I came in, it was $16 million. And honestly, as I look back, that's another mistake I made in the process, is I let money speak. When clearly moving to California, dragging my family, the hours of a startup, especially a startup that Amazon's involved in, and they're very intense.
To eventually take it public.
It was going to be worse, not better. And I think deep down inside, I should have known that. But it was my own greed and kind of desire to get on the dot-com boom that I think my first lesson was, if you're going to solve the issue, really solve the issue and not make it worse. Of course, I didn't know it was going to be as bad as it was.
Yeah, there's no way to have anticipated that day.
Not the implosion. I mean, there were a lot, that's when, pets.com was, guys were making $1 million with a sock puppet on TV.
And so again, at the outset, it was a great opportunity. I remember us talking about it. It was, hey, if I can do this, I'm done. I mean, you used to say to me, Andy, if I can do this, I can come work at the church for nothing. And I'm like, gee, and now I know how to pray.
That's right. And yet there's nothing in the Bible that says, make your money first, then come serve me. It says, seek ye first. And I clearly wasn't doing that.
So there you are in California. You're half the country away from your family, drinking too much, working all the time. Marky's not feeling any better about the situation. So what happened?
Well, the weekend I was supposed to go home to see her was Mother's Day of 2000. And she wanted me to come to church to hear you speak. And honestly, I did not want to come.
Seriously.
I love your speaking, but I had 200 emails. I was stressed out. And thank God that she dragged me there. And we got in late because of that. I was sitting in the very back, and I felt like you were standing on top of me, yelling at me. I mean, it was the weirdest thing. It was like your voice was loud to me because it was just so convicting. And you basically said that we all have too much to do. We're going to cheat something. It's just who or what are you going to cheat? And you basically laid out that over time, if that happens with your spouse, which most working spouses, they cheat their home.
At some point, that's right.
They cheat their home. They don't cheat work. And that was true for me. And you laid out the ramifications of that, which was a broken relationship at home. And when you were laying out those ramifications, I looked over. Marky is bawling her eyes out. And what's worse is my mother-in-law was there because it was Mother's Day. She was bawling her eyes out.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's like, oh, I'm really in trouble
Kleenex
now.
Kleenex fest.
And I was crying because I was so convicted. I knew I was destroying my family, destroying my marriage because of all these bad decisions I was making.
So after a happy Mother's Day service, you go and have lunch, and then what?
So what I did, Andy, one of your recommendations was you had to take action. And we decided to have a three-day weekend with Marky. And I took my little flip chart and I said, what do I have to do to be the husband you did sign up for? And what do I have to do to be the dad that you think our daughter signed up for? And I was really surprised by the response. I would recommend any listener going through this to do this kind of exercise. Marky said, when you are in town, I want you to be home for dinner. And when I cook, I'd like you to clean, because that's my love language, is when you clean up for me, which I had never heard. And
So she's an acts of service person.
She's an acts of service. I had never had that conversation with her, which is kind of sad. But she wanted me to put the kids to bed, not send the kids to bed, which was great advice, because that's where all the magic happens when you're young kids, is when you're just with them. And no emails, she said, between dinner and putting the kids to bed. And
Was that hard for you?
It was hard for me because I'm always on my text or, back then it was email all the time. But, you think about it, it's a two-hour block of time between 6:30 and 8:39 that I could focus on my kids. And that was a big one for me, but we did it. But the biggest thing is that there were two big things. One is travel less. And that one, she wanted me to travel 35% or less, which for me, that pretty much meant returning to the car industry, which I'm looking for jobs now because Greenlight's not going to make it. I probably couldn't go back to the car industry and be as senior as I was anyway. And the second big decision I had to make was, am I going to follow these rules, period? Am I going to take the consequences that might happen if I follow these rules?
The financial consequences.
Financial, level of position, type of industry, and that is a huge issue because males especially, I think anybody in the workforce, we all have ego issues. We all want to, or maybe just money issues. We want to reach a certain level.
Right.
We want to make enough to supply needs of our family.
And for you, I think it was even a bit more complicated because you grew up in a home where you saw how bad things can get financially.
Right.
And so there is in you, like there is in many men, to say, I'm never going there. I'm going to do better for my family.
Yep. And I don't want to make excuses, but for me, that's a very real fear. My dad had a failing business, and my mother told me at his funeral that he brought home about $50 a week for 3 to 4 years. And that's $2,500 a year. You can't, as a family, you feel that stress. My dad didn't take us anywhere. Even one time, I couldn't go to the A&W after a baseball game because he had no cash to take me. And he told me that. And it was just a very emotionally impactful thing that I said, I am never going to go through this with my kids. Because contrary to what a lot of people think, when you don't have money, it's the center of your life, more than when you have money. It was the topic of every conversation in our life. How much did something cost? Why did you buy this? We don't need it. Why did you go, And it was, I just didn't want that in my life. And so I did have to kind of deal with those emotions going through this decision with Marky, but I decided in the end of the day, when I look back on my life, what do I want to look back on? Do I want to have a marriage that's together, a family that's together, or do I want to have financial resources and maybe compromise the other? And unfortunately, Andy, I think a lot of people go through life and they never ask that basic question, what do I want the end of the game to look like? And looking back on my life, and I just thank you and thank God that I asked that question. But it starts with that decision of what are the rules you're going to play by and be willing to take the consequences no matter what.
And that's so
hard.
Difficult
it's
when it's
hard.
Financial, and it's difficult coming out of what you came out of. And again, The stakes were really, really high, really, really high. So you come away from this long weekend, you've got a new set of rules, you realize you probably can't stay in the car industry and be who you need to be at home. So what did you do? What happened next?
Well, it took about 6 months to play out, but I spent a lot of time in prayer, and we were working to sell Greenlight, which we did, and I was looking at options going back to Detroit, which I knew was going to put me right back in the travel, because that's where the auto industry is. And that's, Andy, where there's really a God story here. I had already been on the board of Hirsch and Family Entertainment, and that's where I am today. But I was just a board member. Jack Hirschend, who is the founder and was chairman at the time, called me and said, out of the blue, I had no idea it was coming, that he wanted me to replace him as chairman of the company. He was retiring. And that's like John Wooden asking you to come into UCLA when he's retiring as a basketball coach. I mean, he's a legend, so it was quite surprising to me. The problem was that job was part-time. It was not a full-time executive position. And what he offered me was about a third of what I was making at Greenlight. And I talked to Marky about it. We prayed about it. I really felt there a sense of connection with Jack and the Hirschend company and how they did business. So I was really trying to make it work. I called him back. I said, Jack, I'm willing to do this, but I need $20,000 more a year for me to be able to stay in my home and make the payments. And I really thought he would say, yeah, no problem. We'll pay it $20,000. But he said, Joel, I'm offering you what the position's worth. So let's pray about it. And he prayed on the phone.
So he was willing to lose you over $20,000 a year, knowing where you had been and what you had done.
That's a different story. But he literally prayed on the phone with me that God would provide that some other way.
So let me back up. So you went from a potential $14 or $16 million golden ring life-changing experience to you're waiting to hear back.
Well, we'll keep you for 20 grand.
I had other
options, but I really felt in praying that this company I had a connection with. But literally, the God part of that is that same day, I got a phone call from a executive search person who offered me the chance to interview for a board seat that was $20,000 a year. And that just blew me away. I mean, that kind of stuff never happens to me. So to me, that was confirmation. I accepted the position. I did not want to go back in the auto industry because of the travel issues. And, you know, I don't want to act like it was this big sacrifice, because over the next 3 years, I eventually became CEO and ended up, you know, making what I was making before. And, you know, from that standpoint, I don't want to pretend to the listeners that there was some big, huge sacrifice. But at that point in time, I didn't know.
It felt like a big sacrifice.
It did.
And I remember you felt like you were going backwards.
Oh, yeah, huge. In a huge way. I mean, I went from a big, well-known brand to who's ever heard of Hirschend Family Entertainment, international to domestic. Of course, that was a choice. And a well-known industry versus, you know, theme parks doesn't have the same panache, so to speak, as the auto industry. So I did have some of those emotions, but I was committed to, I don't want to lose. I want to have a good marriage. You know, that's just important to me.
So what happened at home?
Well, it has been a great thing. I can say honestly that my relationship with Marky improved dramatically, and my time with my kids has been off the charts. I feel very validated in my decision, because my relationships at home are better. My wife and I are closer than we've ever been. But the great thing, Andy, is I've been validated at work too. And I don't want, what we've talked about so far almost sounds like I took a step back. I actually took a step forward.
What do you mean?
Well, first of all, I love what I do. I absolutely love coming to work every day. Our industry is very creative. But I think the biggest learning that I would tell everybody on this that's listening is the balance I put in my life with my personal life helped me as a leader. I wasn't so burned out. I wasn't so stressed out at work. I was better rested so I could make better decisions. And then because I came to an industry that I didn't know, I had to surround myself with really talented people that I could depend on and delegate more to.
And that wasn't true in the car industry.
No. In the car industry, I had been in every job, so I knew too much. I thought I knew too much. I was much more autocratic. I controlled much more. I didn't let people go. And as a result, I don't think I surrounded myself with as good a people. And our results at Hirschen have been phenomenal. And it's not, you know, partly I suppose it's my leadership, but I have a great team around me. The best creative guy I could find, the best finance guy, the best operating leader, and a great attorney. So I would encourage people that I don't think there's a conflict between making that decision that I'm going to take the consequences and being a great leader. If you're working in a place where they're watching your clock, and if you leave at a certain time and everyone stay until 9 every night, I would question the leadership there. There's plenty of companies that have a decent amount of balance that you can get a great job done and still not lose your family.
So you're president and CEO, and yet you still feel like you have a sustainable pace as it relates to family and work.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
It is possible. I mean, certainly there are times that it gets out of whack.
Right.
And next week I'm gone every night, but that's very rare. And, you know, I've learned is always going back to that point, am I willing to take the consequences? And in the end of the day, it's worked out fantastic.
Do you feel like this learning has translated into the pace you set for the people around you as well? Because I would think it would, but it's also easy as a CEO. You can come and go whenever you want
right.
to. Do you feel like the people that work for you at Hirschen feel like, wow, this Joel, this is something that's a value for the whole company?
Well, that's a great question. The thing that's important is to make sure success is very clearly defined. We are very performance-driven, and everybody has metrics. So we don't measure success on how late you're here or when you're in the office or if you're traveling or not. We measure success based on, we have 6 objectives. Each one of those has a specific set of measures, and that defines success. And we actually not only measure the what of what you do, we measure the how of what you do it as well, the values behind it. So since I think we have such a clear definition of success, people know whether they're succeeding or not.
As we wrap up our discussion, Joel, what are the takeaways, bottom line? As our audience listens and they're wrestling with this and trying to figure out, you know, okay, so now what do I do? What would you say?
I would say if you're going to put your family first, which is a choice I made, just be willing to take the consequences of it. You have to go into it with that attitude. Now, the good news is I don't think there's a conflict between family health and balance and being successful at work. That's the good news, but you still have to be willing to take the consequences. The second priority is know what's important to your spouse and your children. Don't make assumptions. I assumed it was financial stability. My wife, she wanted me to, you know, do the dishes when she cooked. She wanted me to always put our children to bed, not just send them to bed. She wanted me to be home for dinner. So it was so much simpler than I thought. And I would just encourage people to investigate that and know the answers to those questions.
Well, once again, thank you for your incredible transparency. Thanks for sharing. I think this has been helpful for all of us and challenging for all of us. And maybe we can do this again real soon.
I hope so. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Joel.
Thanks again for listening to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast. The book Andy references in this podcast, entitled Choosing to Cheat, has been recently re-released as When Work and Family Collide. It also includes updated content, an expanded version of Joel's story, as well as a totally new study guide. Check it out today at northpointstore.org.